back to see that the door was almost shut. "How about tonight, after dark?" "I can see in the dark," it said in her whisper, husky. She slid her hand into his pajamas, and when she touched the penis, an unused circuit closed, and it enlarged and rose with literally inhuman speed. "Oh my God," she said. "Midnight?" "Midnight," it repeated. "Oh my God." Her smile was a cross between open-mouthed astonishment and a leer. "You're strange, Jimmy." She backed out of the room, mouthing, "Midnight," and closed the door quietly. The changeling noted this new erect state and experimented with it, and the unexpected result suddenly clarified a whole class of mammalian behavior it had witnessed with porpoise, dolphin, and killer whale. The music teacher came for his twice-weekly visit and was stupefied by the sudden change in Jimmy's ability. The boy had been a mystery from the start. Before the accident, he had taken piano lessons from age 10 to 13, the teacher was told, but had to quit out of frustration, boredom, and puberty, or so the parents thought. He must have been practicing secretly. This current teacher, Jefferson Sheffield, had been hired on Dr. Grossbaum's recommendation. His specialty was music for therapy, and under his patient tutelage, many mentally ill and retarded people had found a measure of peace and grace. Jimmy's performance on the piano had been like his idiot savant talent with language. He could repeat anything Sheffield did, note for note. Left to his own devices, he would either not play or reproduce one of Sheffield's lessons with perfect fidelity. This morning, it improvised. It sat down and started playing with what appeared to be feeling, making up things that used the lessons as raw material, but transposed and inverted them, and linked them with interesting cadenzas and inventive chord changes. He played for exactly 1 hour and stopped, for the first time looking up from the keyboard. Sheffield and most of the family and staff were sitting or standing around, amazed. "I had to understand something," it said to no one in particular, but then it gave Deborah a look that made her tremble. Dr. Grossbaum joined Sheffield and the family for lunch. The changeling realized it had done something seriously wrong and retreated into itself. "You've done something wonderful, son," Sheffield said. It looked at him and nodded, usually a safe course of action. "What caused the breakthrough?" It nodded again and shrugged in response to the interrogative tone. "You said that you had to understand something," he said. "Yes," it said, and into the silence, "I had to understand something." It shook its head as if to clear it. "I had to learn something." "That's progress," Grossbaum said. "Verb substitution." "I had to find something," it said. "I had to be something. I had to be someone." "Playing music lets you be someone different?" Grossbaum said. "Someone different," it repeated, studying the air over Grossbaum's head. Made me someone different." "Music made you someone different," Sheffield said with excitement. It considered this. It understood the semantic structure of the statement and knew that it was wrong. It knew that what made it different was new knowledge about that unnamed part of its body, how it would stiffen and leak something new. But it knew that humans acted mysteriously about that part, and so decided not to demonstrate its new knowledge, even though the part was stiff again. It saw that Grossbaum was looking at that part and reduced blood flow to make it less prominent. But he had noticed. His eyebrow went up a fraction of an inch. "It's not all music," he said. "Is it?" "It's all music," the changeling said. "I don't understand." "You don't understand." The changeling looked at its hands. "It's all music." "Life is all music," Sheffield said. The changeling looked at him and nodded. Then it rose and crossed the room to the piano and started playing.